Welcome to The Weekly. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Chris.
And this week on The Weekly, Maggot Machine is kickstarting. Monolith acquires Rackham IP. Ooh, okay. That was good news. Infinite Kickstarters, almost. Mm-hmm. And WotC CEO resigns.
Saw that, yep.
And the Yes And version is delayed. So we talked about the Yes And mechanics for the Adventure Time RPG.
Oh, I thought they... Okay. We'll talk about it when it comes up.
Yes. We'll talk about what they were doing, what they promised, and what may be actually happening.
Right.
So let's start with a gritty, nasty, post-apocalyptic future with Nightfall Games. They are currently crowdfunding Maggot Machine, so their latest original IP. It's a... they're using their new V6 system. So it's a rules light system using D6s. And it sounds kind of fun. It's an interesting kind of twist on dice pool mechanics.
Okay.
So these are, of course, Nightfall is the publishers of Slay Industries, and the creator of Slay Industries designed this game. So Dave Alsop. And there's also additional writing by Jared Earle and Ben Graybeaton. And we're looking at a weird and wonderful world of lost technology and found monsters.
Okay.
So they're producing a hardback A5, 128-page full-color book with art backgrounds, monsters, missions, and rules.
Before we go any further,
mm-hmm.
that is what I... Okay, personal preference, that is what I want to hear in a book, right? A5, 128 pages. When someone goes, it's a... hardback, 8.5 by 11, 400 pages. I'm like,
right, yes.
What is in that book?
Right? Yeah, where they're going, it's getting bigger. It's getting
I'm
bigger.
Like, don't want it. Right? A5, 128. Like that sounds like you have focused on the game,
right?
Rather than I don't know what's in a 400-page book.
Yeah, just filling it with nonsense. Yes. So the V6 rule system is interesting. So they said on the Kickstarter page, when a contest happens, one player is the active roller, the other is reactive. They both roll small D6 dice pools and want to get as high as possible. Each dice rolled by the reactive player that is bigger than the active player, is they remove active player's dice.
Okay.
If the active player has any dice left at the end of the contest, they score points that can be spent on doing damage, healing, finding loot. And but there's a twist. If you roll sixes or ones, you enter a reroll phase where another die for every six you roll is rolled and any ones get rerolled. It's possible that doesn't happen, but it can happen for both sides. So, yeah, kind of like exploding sixes almost.
So exploding sixes at an extra die that you roll.
Yes, and rerolls of ones.
Okay.
And so that makes things I'm losing, but hey, I get to reroll these, and then now I'm winning. So,
interesting.
Yeah, and the other twist is if the active player has no dice left, then the reactive player does. They now have points to spend. Okay. So every turn it's not a passive.
Right.
Yeah, it's not passive.
No,
it's always,
okay. I like that because I like games where you can sort of predict or have an idea of what the most likely outcome of this action is, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which is part of why I don't care for D20 that much, right? The flat 5% of anything to me is too kind of unpredictable.
Yeah.
Whereas this one, I'm like, okay, I have a dice pool of this, you have a dice pool of that. I can kind of figure out how much more likely I am to roll more dice than you or not.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, sounds... to my likings.
Yes. And if you want to give this a shot, they have Maggot Machine Infestation as a pay what you want introduction. So this is kind of a quick start, their version of the quick start for this campaign.
I don't want to be infested.
And the interesting part of this campaign that jumped out, they put it right at the top to jump out right away because this is something we're all dealing with. US and UK get free shipping. On this, and they're gonna subsidize with, and they said rest of the world is gonna be subsidized too, so they're gonna kind of eat some of that shipping just to get it to you more affordably. So a little bit about the setting: the year is 1994, just like last year and the year before. The world is a ruined place of hideous mutations, maggot machines. They reign, and the guilds hide deep in the underland, praying they stay undiscovered. So you're a guild knight. So basically like a machine, like a mech, and you're fighting it's the time before the great maggot is what you're looking for lost treasures in the time before the great maggot. So I guess you're probably finding like energy bars and, whatever you in 1994 was lost during the apocalypse. Yes, a spoon, a bar of soap, dare to dream, a can of chunky dog food. So, yeah, a lot of loot. It sounds like a lot of looting and building up your. And so you're based on Gildan. You're playing machines. So only by questing can you seize power. So strap on your armor, check your Geiger counter, and chamber around in your pistol. Light hell awaits. It's the world of Light Hell. Yeah, so it sounds like a similar to post-apocalyptic Slay Industries. So Slay Industries is kind of dystopic corporate nightmare future, and this is post-apocalyptic, but everything ended in the 90s. So it's still cool 90s. It's still extreme 90s. every day is extreme 90s. So Infestation is an abridged version of the rules, and it has several pre-generated characters and a full scenario to play. So all you need is D6s to give this a shot.
And possibly a strong stomach with all these
maggots. Yeah, right. All the maggot, yeah, but things get pretty gruesome looking. But nice art though, very fun.
Nice.
Evocative art. Yeah, you know, nice for if you thing. Yeah, not happy or shiny or it's pretty disgusting, brutal, disgusting art. But I'll put a link to that if you want to give that a shot. And yeah, I just got my copy of Slay Industries, second edition. So they did a nice job. The only thing I opened so far is just the quick starter book, and they do a nice job going through and explaining everything with that, and that's D10s. That's rolling D10s, kind of D10 dice pools.
I have to think, like, if there's, like, because there's a lot of baggage with uncovering lost civilizations and kind of, or like looting, right? Mm-hmm, where just like, this kind of feels like a way to do it, right? Post-apocalyptic, no one's really left to say this is ours. It's all this kind of weird mishmash.
Right, right.
The thing you're scavenging from is a horrible maggot. I don't know, right? So, like, I'm sure there are other ways to do it, but this is one.
Mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I like that they know that they're playing to their strengths. They know what maggots. They like, and so 90s, 90s kind of grim, dark machine post-apocalypse. So sounds good. So this is the best news that I have heard in a long time. Okay. So Monolith was officially awarded by the Paris Commercial Court just recently. The total IP for Rackham, the company of Rackham as they existed, whatever their last manifestation was, which I guess was 2010.
Wow.
So yeah, there have been several attempts to resurrect and people claiming they have the rights to Confrontation and various Rackham properties. And I think they've all been just scoundrels.
Right.
And the most recent, which was probably the most entertaining Kickstarter ever. I pledged like €1 just to watch the shit show.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Because,
this is worth €1. Okay.
Yeah, this is the company that claimed that they had all the originals for all the wax originals for the Rackham minis for Confrontation. They're going to recast those. And if you pledged high enough, if you pledged like $500, they would send you a random one of those originals. And there was all kinds of shenanigans going on. And that finally, I checked those last year, that was all litigated and that it was a bankruptcy and they kind of, you know, took everything from that company. But no, anybody involved in the crowdfunding, I don't think, is getting any sort of reward. There were no bones to pick.
Right. Left. Do you actually think they had the wax originals?
They did have photos of them. Oh. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so they probably, you know, found them in a warehouse or whatever. Right. It was, you know, and that was probably just having those is why they claimed they had the IP. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So that was really shitty. So Sans Detour was picked apart, and it was interesting because they had to spell out in court where all the money went from the Kickstarter. And just went to, you know, vacations and mysterious stuff. Yeah, it was just all random.
Wow, okay.
They didn't even...
Note to self, run fraudulent Kickstarter. All right, I want a vacation too.
So they didn't even pretend. But this is going to give, all of the IP property rights to Monolith, who already has, they now have from Modiphius, they have the Conan RPG. So they got a lot of good stuff coming up, potentially. So old games and miniature ranges may be back. Yes, so the last time Rackham was a thing was 2008, Rackham Entertainment. And I think that's when they produced the pre-painted miniatures for both AT-43 and Confrontation. That
Why did I not realize that AT-43 was Rackham?
Yeah, I forget who sold those. But I think that was maybe Fantasy Flight or somebody. But too expensive. They went way too expensive. Right. They were very nice pre-painted miniatures for pre-painted compared to, you know, Wizard Kids and stuff. But they was, I think, way too expensive. And a lot of people that like the IP and like their original miniatures wanted to paint them. So getting the kind of bendy pre-painted miniatures was a little disappointing because there was nothing on a sprue. So they were dissolved and liquidated in 2010. And they haven't found a home since then, but there have been plenty of scoundrels trying to claim that they have they have the ability to publish stuff. So that might mean we're going to see the rebirth of Confrontation and their board game hybrid that a lot of people were saying good things about. And then, of course, the sci-fi setting AT-43. And they may even get around to Cadwell in the City of Thieves. I think we have that game up there. And so they did an RPG setting for that and a board game. And so we'll see. The interesting thing, though, is I think there's a Russian company that has been recasting Confrontation minis for a while. And they did their own setting that is basically just knocking off Confrontation. Right. They've crowdfunded that. So it'll be interesting to see if they can get them to stop doing that or not, because that's been the only source of those miniatures, except for the old blisters floating around. So the one thing that Monolith really needs to do, and I don't think this is going to be a problem, because from their rule books and things, I haven't noticed this being a particular weakness of theirs. Everything notoriously from Rackham was badly translated from French to English.
Right.
And so making some of the rule books a little unusable. The RPG is notoriously hard to even deal with, because of how badly they translated some of the terms. So we'll see if they kind of overcome that. And I think they will. It sounds like they do a nice job. The only thing that's frustrating about Monolith, especially with board games, is you get everything. I guess this is the Canadian plate as well. You get everything in French and English, so the board games are twice as heavy as they need to be, because they were
twice as much stuff.
It's double the cards, because you have all the dashboards and cards and everything in both English and French. So we will happily wait for the what they're gonna come out with this. I guess it's probably gonna be a series of crowdfunders. Monolith, leans pretty heavily into that, but we'll get to kind of see it coming, and we know they can produce. They know, they're not gonna back out and fall apart like some of these have done. So this was just a little graphic that they announced on social media. I think they posted it on X, and it was just like, hey, boom, hey, good news, we got it. And so good to see.
Underselling it so that when no one really
so they temper your expectations. We don't know how well this
temper
is
your expectations.
We'll see how this goes. But speaking of Kickstarters and people putting things on them, Kickstarter is changing their rules, and I think they're just trying to get a piece of
everything.
Stuff that people are already doing. So you would notice when a lot of Kickstarters ended, and I'm curious if this is going to kind of ruin their gimmick, or their hurt the urgency that people usually feel. Oh, I've only got 30 days. Oh, there's only 2 days left. So if you eliminate that, then what is Kickstarter besides just a pre-order system, that goes up until the very beginning of production for whatever you're supporting? So Kickstarter is going to add the ability to collect money indefinitely on your crowdfunding campaign. So supporters can contribute even after the campaign has officially ended. So they're giving some guidelines about how to do this. So usually you see this as a late pledge link. Uh-huh. And this will take you off site, usually to the pledge manager, whatever pledge manager the company is using, or to their own website where you can order directly from them. And some people have, they have to figure out if you gave money in Kickstarter and then turn that into credits on their web store, and then people can go directly to the web store and purchase the same pledges. And so it got, it became very confusing, because no two campaigns were alike in how they handled late pledges. So now Kickstarter wants all of that. So they're going to allow, they're slowly rolling this out. So it's not completely in effect yet, and they'll kind of open this up. But they're giving guidelines, and they're saying that right now campaigns can be in duration of 1 to 60 days, and then they reach a goal, and then once the campaign is finished, there's you can put a link there. They'll take you off-site, off-platform, they're calling it, to keep raising money. And so some people have notoriously raised a lot of ridiculous money after their crowdfunding and never delivered things. I think some video games that are notorious for that. So this new late pledge feature will let people keep a campaign open as long as they want, as long as they get down to the very last numbers of what they need to produce to fulfill to everybody. So they'll keep things open and keep, so that will keep money coming in. And hopefully if there's a spike in interest, or maybe during the campaign it didn't reach certain parts of the internet that would be supporting it. But Kickstarter is saying that they advise you to, if you haven't gotten a late pledge, if it's like 30 days and there's no one that's used this late pledge, that it's probably appropriate to shut it down. So this is imitating the what already exists with a platform like Indiegogo. So Indiegogo has a forever funding where we've got this campaign going and we raise a certain amount of money and we'll do this, and now it's still available. So it's kind of like a store, you know, like a late pledge store that just stays open forever. But you can always, you know, if you hit on social media or something gets out there, people, somebody, you know, with some following talks about something, and then all of a sudden you can, you know, you can get orders again.
Call me pessimistic.
Yes.
Like you said, I kind of see this as Kickstarter going, let's find a way to collect money from these people forever.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, right.
So it's not any kind of whatever it is. Not some kind of altruistic thing like, oh yeah, if you missed it, you can still kind of keep a game. It's like, no.
Right.
Instead of having people go off-site,
mm-hmm.
we want a piece of that. So keep your things open forever. So
right.
we continue to make, yeah.
And this also encourages the shady kind of failed Kickstarters that just kind of, you know, promise, you know, they reach a goal, they set a really low goal, they reach it, and they say, oh yeah, and this is coming, and this is coming. You just wait a couple of years and you keep stringing people along.
Yeah.
And you can...
Kickstarter don't care as long as they continue to make bank on whatever promises are people are making, yeah.
Yeah, so I think this is going to be a new thing that people have to consider in their business model. They don't have to set up that mechanism themselves, although I think BackerKit and those sites make that very easy to do anyhow, keeping late pledge, like a late pledge store open very easily. So we'll see. I think they're trying to take a piece of business away from the pledge manager companies that are now their competition directly. So they're testing this late pledge option, and once creators turn off late pledges, though, there's no turning it back on. So if you're like, okay, I think we've got everything we need to start producing, turn it off. Oh, wait a minute, there's been a delay. Right. Let's try to turn it. Oh, you can't. Yeah. So
well,
no turning it back on.
Sure.
But I don't know. I don't know if this is. It's obviously just a business move by Kickstarter, and I wonder if this is going to just mean more shenanigans or more more harder to assess if this is actually a situation, you know, a project you can trust. Mm. But we will see. So a quick update: a Brinkwatch 2024. What are we up to? We are up to day 447.
Wow!
But maybe Kyle has been playing the long game. Maybe he has been biding his time. This is a Game of Thrones kind of scenario, you know, where his little birds have been, you know, spreading, doing their work and spreading all of the slander against the current CEO that they need to. But so Vecna has returned, and coincidentally, Cynthia Williams is leaving. Okay. So I don't know if the two are related, but so Wizards of the Coast president and CEO Cynthia Williams resigns. According to a SEC filing on April 15th, the president has given her notice. So Williams has only had the position for 2 years, and was her predecessor, of course, was Chris Cox, who is now CEO of the Hasbro universe. So there's no successor, although Kyle is probably in the wings. He's got a dark cloak on and is lingering in a corner waiting for the vote to begin. But there's no successor, but they did announce that they are looking both internally, Kyle, or externally for her replacement. So as we all know, the same with Chris Cox. She's a former Microsoft. She was a general manager, vice president of gaming ecosystem on the gaming ecosystem commercial team for the Xbox division at Microsoft.
Wish I could just make up shit like that and be president of it and get paid nonsense. A decent salary.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, that's the thing I'm really worried about. Yeah, she gave her note. So are we going to see her somewhere in the Northwest, living in a, you know, this tent city, and you know, just can't. No. She's going to have a huge bonus that she's taking with her, because she definitely timed this, and she's moving somewhere where it's going to be probably less contentious and more easily.
You know what? If I had the ability to do the same thing, I would. So, yeah.
So you and Cynthia, right?
Yep.
And cut from the same cloth.
You know what? I challenge anybody to say that they wouldn't do the same thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, if you can live that soulless life where you have zero creativity, zero contribution to anything, you're just making phone calls and, you know, making sure documents are signed and then collecting a check.
Yeah.
I mean, that would seem almost like a weird prison. And the way those people behave, especially even all the way down to like HR and accountants, if they get their hands anywhere near something creative, they have to have some input. They have to have an opinion. It's like, no, you're getting paid to not do that. You just watch the money, manage the human resources. So so Williams oversaw quite a couple of tumultuous years for Hasbro. They did see a feature film and their amazing FAST channel that no one can find for D&D streaming content, but they did also have the OGL, which trashed the third-party publishers relationship, and they also hired. I don't know. Okay. Yeah, we'll see. Yep. We have yet to see. Yeah, sure. That's true. We have yet to see. And they also employed Pinkertons to seize.
That's a real high point, yeah.
To seize unreleased cards from some poor YouTuber. And their big success of Baldur's Gate 3, which they claim there will be a Baldur's Gate 4, but they're going to use a different developer, so I'm sure it's going to be...
yep, it'll be exactly the same.
Just garbage. Yes, and so she's leaving on the 50th anniversary of Dungeons & Dragons. Pretty weird. But, of course, there was a statement released... So there, Rascal News is the site that broke this, and they reached out for a comment. And of course, Wizards had this to say: "We're excited for Cynthia to take the next step in her career, and grateful for the contributions she has made in her more than 2 years at Wizards and Hasbro. We wish her the absolute best in her next endeavor." I don't know why I bother reading this. We know exactly what this is going to say. It can be written by corporate AI. Yeah, but she's off to new adventures, or however.
She's leveled up. Yes,
right. So I'm sure she's got no problem. I'm sure she's there's people placing her at this moment for some unsuspecting corporation that wants to go digital. But so I'm starting to think now maybe Kyle was the mastermind of this whole OGL thing.
I think
you're
giving Kyle a lot more credit than he deserves, right?
I don't know. He's pretty sinister looking. And some of those
don't
podcasts
look for
I
conspiracy watch. Theories. We're not exist just because you want to spice up the truth.
Oh, you mean the ignorance or, what is that? Malice or ignorance? You can,
malice is indistinguishable. Ignorance is indistinguishable from malice at a certain point.
Right. Yeah, okay. Well, maybe I think I want Kyle to be the sinister character that he's not, but perhaps. He staged this whole OGL thing and he was pushing these digital tools that were there completely incapable of creating so that he would have Cynthia's.
Or perhaps reality is just much more bland and
boring. Yeah, that's true. Maybe it is that boring. And maybe, I mean, I could see her just being tired of the bullshit.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Everything that they released, like, oh, motherfucking social media again is going nuts about... You know, we couldn't print our cards correctly for the deck of many things, and now we're getting shit for it.
Or maybe she's just tired of doing what she's doing, right?
Yeah, and I'm sure at Microsoft, they just stole people's stuff and seized things and, abused the privacy of their users, and that was all she was good at. Okay. So, yeah, they never got to that point at Wizards. But, we'll see what happens and what kind of person steps in, because this is a weird time to be stepping in because there is a big transition. Like, they could completely fumble 5e. We still don't know it's going to continue its popularity.
This is CEO of Wizards.
Right, so it's Magic and D&D. Yeah.
Right, but like, okay, how much... sure, like, in a normal company, right, the CEO kind of like does take some responsibility for like the things that happen either way, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean... Realistically, how much creative input does the CEO have?
Oh, yeah. Well, they're just like listening to, they're at the meeting listening to the reports from other.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Oh, that's lovely. Oh, delightful.
Yeah. Yes. Do better at that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Or do better, faster, cheaper. Yeah. Yes.
I'm not saying that the next CEO will have no effect, mm-hmm. but. How much effect was the next CEO?
Well, they do have to. I mean, I think their biggest role and probably what they're paid the most for is just pacifying the shareholders. Because she was on some of the calls with Chris Cox where they're saying, oh, we've got wonderful, amazing, beautiful synergies, in the future.
I need to hear the corporate speak. Yeah.
And that's their biggest role is just babysitting the shareholders.
Yeah, sure.
So we'll see where she lands, like anyone's going to even know and or care. Yeah. And but what kind of choice they make for a person to replace. If it's going to be someone from traditional publishing, somebody from digital, that would be interesting to see.
That would at least be kind of like a signal to where mm-hmm. they're going. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's going to be very digital. Probably a cryptocurrency. NFTs, anyone? No. So we'll see. And lastly, we talked about this, I guess it was almost 2 years ago. Oh, no, last year. End of last year, the Yes And system.
Time has no meaning.
Yep. Yes, I know. It's impossible to tell. So, yes, the Adventure Time RPG, TTRPG, is officially being kickstarted by Cryptozoic now. And there was an announcement. So when they were publishing that kind of anniversary version, the super cool, awesome version of the anniversary edition of the Adventure Time Card Wars game, where they print every card from the digital version of it, they made a mention in the comments about, we're working with Forever Stoked to use their Yes And system. So that's Matt Fantastic designed a mechanical framework called Yes And to run the RPG, and it you know made sense with kind of the tone of the show, the motivations, like how you would want to play this actual world and these actual characters. But of course, Cryptozoic is they don't want to make just a little bit of money; they want to make a lot more money. So they're foregrounding, they're promoting the 5e version. So that's the thing that they're going to be kickstarting, with the possibility of, we need a little more time, we need to talk to the licensor, and perhaps there will be a Yes And system version. So technically now two versions of this game exist, and we'll see if the second one potentially exists. And we'll see if one is actually, they're claiming it's still in active development, but that, I don't know, who knows what that even means. So yeah, they are prioritizing 5e, and that update said that they may be shelving the Yes And, but due to player feedback, they're going to maybe finish both.
Player feedback, my ass.
Yeah, right,
I can now read the chat up on the big screen. Oh, cool, there you go. Love that. What time is it? It's 5e time. Boom. Yeah, right. Indeed.
Yes. Yeah, so that's the article even made an interesting comment that, so conflict is resolved in the cartoon, in the animation, through heart-to-heart talks with best buds, and not like, you know, rolling combat rolling initiative and swords.
Like, I'm very disappointed that Japanese Netflix only has like seasons 1 through 4 of Adventure Time. Because for a while, my kid and I were watching it, even though I think it's a little bit above her age level. She very much likes the like wacky slapstick stuff, and like the, as a 7-year-old, right? Like the underlying stuff kind of just goes over. But like combat does happen. There are fights, right? But yeah, it's not the only or even the most common way to resolve conflicts in Adventure Time. And like you said, sometimes you're like Jake's playing this fucking viola, or you talk it out with people, and 5e is the fucking worst possible system for that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Why?
That's true. Yeah, so Cryptozoic, I think their excuse was, of course, there's a quote. The 5e game has been planned from the start because it goes back to the very roots of Adventure Time itself. What? Which was inspired by D&D. I guess that's what, so the inspiration of tabletop fantasy means 5e now.
I mean, not saying that's wrong. Mm. It's totally possible. Sure, like maybe that's what it's inspired by. It's a lot more than that, right?
Bad
system choice, bro.
Yes. So we had planned for the Yes And game to come first, but it needed more development time, license approval, and it will offer a very different experience. We'll make more announcements about it in the future.
The only reason I am buying is licensor approval.
Right, yeah. That's true. Especially, yeah, so probably the licensor, whatever, Viacom or whatever, Nightmare, is who owns Adventure Time, and then Cryptozoic are probably looking at the numbers like, this is a much bigger audience, let's sell it.
That's the thing I would buy, right? Like, why are you leaving this money on the table?
Right. Yeah. So keep an eye out. If you're interested in the Yes And version, keep an eye on the updates for this crowdfunder and see what they actually say. It may be years out before they get around to actually, I don't know what the fulfillment time was, but so it's currently running. The campaign is running through May 15th, and they did a cute little, I think their version of the Kickstarter is Jake's Smaozao Guide to Role-Playing Games. So it's a simple guide to rolling dice and the rolls. So this was written by Ray Winiger, the designer who also worked on D&D as executive producer for the DC Heroes RPG, and has worked with D&D before, and Lego D&D. Oh, and so yeah, like the like, oh no, so similar to the recent Lego D&D, a simple version of playing it. Yeah, so yeah, there's an intro guide and even a quest. There'll be a supplemental quest of Quest of the Shadow Gems. Cryptozoic claims the licensor has not approved any of the digital source books yet, but they're coming. God damn. So that's a weird kind of situation to be in. I guess, you know, That's what that, crowdfunding is supposed
about,
to do.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about crowdfunding. And or I was going to say licensors, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we often wonder, like, why is a game like this? Or why don't we have these ships in Star Wars Armada? Or why is this right. missing? And it's like, it's, pardon me, it's whatever the licensor agrees to,
yeah.
right? This
yeah.
is not something that is yours, right? They are letting you make this.
Mm-hmm. And this is how much of it you get.
Yep,
yeah.
yep. And this is how much of it you get. Or if you want to pay more licensing fees, you right. get, this is what you get, right? Or it's kind of like the graphic designer or any kind of like creative person's oh, yeah. like, we're streaming like, yeah, that looks good, but why don't you move this over here and do that? And it's like...
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I can't imagine what the feedback might be like from some of these companies.
It's all no, but
no, yeah, no but. Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. No longer yes and. Yeah, so keep an eye out for that if you're interested in seeing a more playable and a system that matches the setting a lot more than
calling 5E. It now, this is never going to come out.
Yeah, yeah, that would be too bad. But maybe you can just kind of reskin it as something Adventure Time-like, because there's a lot of indie comics that have that kind of that minimalist style. So yeah, just kind of get your yes and going for something else. It's still wacky fantasy, inspired by D&D.
Inspired by D&D, inspired by Adventure Time.
Oh, yes. So yeah, that's going to do it
yeah.
for this week.
No but.
No but. yeah. So where can people find you?
On Blue Sky, and what's the other one? Instagram, at least until they shove more AI stuff on there.
Ooh.
Anyway, that's HiveMind, HyveMind. Where I made my own set of yes and dice.
Oh,
a while back.
Excellent.
Right?
All right. So search the archives.
Yeah, search the archives. Yeah. Cool. It's pretty easy.
Excellent.
How about you?
So I am trying to draw a single panel gag cartoon weekly, but the next couple of weeks are going to be a little rough. Yeah. And oh, that also means that Dune won't be happening tomorrow.
Okay.
As well, yeah. So I got to get things ready for movers to actually move big stuff up and right. down. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to be tied up with that kind of stuff. So, yeah. So, but we're going to have new digs. So probably beginning of next month, we'll have sometime during the first week of next month, we'll have a new situation. It'll probably look exactly like this. Maybe just some stuff. I think this will stay the background. But we'll be able to do green screens and better lighting and stuff, and hopefully the sound will be better. We'll be further away from the road. We'll be higher up in
oh,
the
right.
building, so farther so away from
the road over
yeah,
there. Yeah.
So the street noise may be reduced, and it'll just be easier to get up and walk around. So that'll be nice.
Roving reporter. Yeah.
All right. So and if you like, so that's Abuse Cartoons. If yep. you want to check that out, but if you like what we're doing here on the weekly, consider becoming a weakling,
the strongest of all supporters
at Patreon.com/upturntable, and there you can pledge at any tier starting as little as a dollar and tell us what's going on, what you'd like to see going on with the weekly and some of the other content on the channel. We also have the website, upturntable.com, which has basically collecting everything we're doing, the actual plays, lore videos, the audio version of this podcast. You can also subscribe on any platform, and the audio for this live stream goes in the RSS feed of the Patreon, a little bit cleaned up.
Yep,
easier,
after it gets sweetened.
Sweetened and easier to listen to. And that might we might change how we produce things once we have okay. a new setup, so we might even have sweeter audio, and it's going to give you a toothache. It's going to be so sweet. So, up to our table and all social media, and we'll be back again next week to do this again.
Yep. Later, mortals.
Goodbye.